in Jeff Lewis's world,
there's never a dull moment.
I was traumatized. I kept thinking Vegas strippers, Doug's massage, excessive drinking, drug use, unprotected sex. Like, it's all, like, flashing in front of me.
I don't know why you're being such a bitch about it.
Because I have a UTI and I'm in pain.
And if you don't learn frustration tolerance when you're a toddler, you're going to be a very unhappy adult in therapy the rest of your life.
You're looking at him.
Jeff Lewis has issues.
Good morning. I'm here with Carney Wilson, Megan Weaver, and Shane Douglas. Good morning, Carney.
Hi.
Good morning.
I don't know why it's taken so long to get you on this show.
I know.
You know what? I will tell you, we pretty much cast this show ourselves because no one at SiriusXM helps us. You do. I know, Alyssa, you, but I know. Okay, anyway. So I saw that you made a comment on my Instagram.
Yes.
So I thought, you know what? I'm going to reach out to her.
I was so happy when you did.
It was really shocking and surprising that you were even on my Instagram and you had made a comment. I was like, I'm going to reach out to her, see if she'll come on the show. Here you are.
Love it. So happy. But we did meet at Kyle Richards' house, remember?
Yes,
briefly,
we did.
Briefly, we did.
Well, I want to talk about that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so I asked you, I didn't know if it was common for you. So you are part of the band Wilson Phillips. I mean, for those of you that live under a rock and don't know this.
Right, right.
Very, very successful group. I believe you started at, what was it, in the 80s, the end of the 80s? Was it like 86, 89?
That's when we formed the band.
Formed the band.
But everyone thinks we're the 80s band, but we're not.
90s band.
1990 is when Hold On first came, our first single came out, yeah.
And that album, I believe, sold 12 million copies.
Yes.
It was wildly successful.
Yeah, it was.
And then you had, was it three number one hits and then another like five top 20?
Yep.
And I mean, you guys had a really, really good run. Would you say it was 10 years?
Well, no, it was quick because the band, you know,
disbanded.
I hate hearing that. It makes me sad. But we're together again, so that's good. But yeah, we disbanded.
Why would you disband when you are so successful?
Good question. I asked myself that for a long time, but it wasn't my decision. And, you know, you got three members and everybody has their own path. And
yes,
it was a lot of hard work compacted into those years. And so China just wanted a break and wanted to do some solo material. And we had to say, you know what? We're sad. This is crazy. We're on top right now. Why would we do that? And she just said, I have to do this. And we had to honor that.
Yeah. So I just looked at this. So three number one singles and six top 20 hits.
Mm-hmm.
12 million copies, your first album.
I know.
So when did the second album come out?
I was the only one that believed we were going to sell that, though, by the way.
Oh, really?
When we were in the studio, we were working with Glenn Ballard, who, you know, who produced Alanis Morissette, huge producer, like our fourth member. We wrote our songs with him, and I kept saying to everybody, we're going to sell 10 million records. And they go, you're crazy. And I said, no, you watch. You watch it happen.
No, you guys are, I was able to go to one of your performances, because I was at Kyle Richards, and I had never seen you in, you know, perform in person. You guys are great in person.
Thank
beautiful
you.
Voices,
Thank
all
you.
Three of you and together. You. So did you ever do a lot of touring then?
We did a lot of promotional touring and we did do a little tour with Richard Marx, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went straight into the second album, which our record company guy told us that it was a failure because we'd only sold 3 million. And today, I would give anything to sell 3 million records.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, what?
So would Shane.
You know, I mean, it's...
I would do anything.
Come on, right?
What year did the second album come out?
92. Yeah. And so then that's when the group disbanded, and that's when I reunited with my dad through music in 1993. I took a year off to basically cry, and then...
You had to mourn it, right?
And then, yeah, and then... Yeah, I did. I did have to. But I knew I knew there was a little place of hope inside of me that we would get back together one day.
Mm-hmm.
And for like 14 years straight, every year I would call Wendy in China. Okay, are you ready? Are you ready to get back together? No. Finally, China was pregnant with her firstborn and she gave birth and she called from the hospital the day she gave birth. I'm ready. That's how that went down. It's so wacky, but it's like, that's China, you know?
I'm like you. I would ride it till the wheels fall off.
Oh, yeah.
Till they, basically until they asked me to leave and just disappear.
I understand that. I love to work. I loved the music. And it just feeds part of your soul, you know? It really does. And it's a symbiotic thing, you know? Like when you do a concert, you're pouring your love and your energy and your voice and the music to the audience, and they're giving it back to you. Other than that, like one man in the front row who's like, you know, got a suit on, who's on his phone, and his arms are crossed. That's when I confront him during the show. I go, hey.
That was not at Kyle Richards. And I will tell you what happened was I knew that you were popular, but I didn't realize you were a gay icon. I mean, those gays rushed that stage. They were front and center.
I know.
And then, so it was the gays, and then it was the housewives and women. And then there was a little bit of space, and then there was the bar with all the straight guys.
Right.
So
yeah.
I was somewhere in the middle. I was behind the women, but not quite at the bar. Like, I didn't really know where to fit in.
Right.
Because I wasn't going to be one of the gays that rushed the stage.
Up at the front.
But I was happy to be there, and I thought you guys were great in person.
Thank you. Well, after the show, you know, Kris Jenner was there, and it was so funny because it's kind of a long story. I made some desserts to go on. I went on the Kardashian show for this like garage sale, you know, whatever. And I made like 400 pieces of dessert for them, and they all freaked out for the dessert. But so I met Kris briefly, but I saw her that night.
Yes.
And she was in the audience, and she came up to me after and she was like, I love what you do, and I love what you give back, you know, like your energy. And so I thought it was really sweet that she said that, you know what I mean? And she loved the music and everything. Everybody was dancing. It was a beautiful night.
It's very nostalgic, I think, for people my age.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, of course.
My age, yeah.
Brings you back.
How many songs did you do that night at Kyle's?
Like 6 or 7.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
It was fun. It was a good time.
And we do our parents' music, too, because we did an album called Dedicated. So we did, I think we did California Dreamin'.
Oh,
and God Only Knows. God Only Knows I have on my arm, my tattoo on my arm. My favorite song ever written, God Only Knows.
So your dad is Brian Wilson. He co-founded the Beach Boys. Yeah. And he's still touring today with your husband.
Yes.
Who is his, lead guitar player?
He is. He probably has 3 guitar players. But yeah, he sings. He plays guitar. My dad wanted him in the band.
Aw.
Yeah. His guitar player passed away suddenly. And I think basically his last meal was my matzo ball soup, which made me feel very happy. God bless. Oh, Nikki was the greatest.
God, I hope that's not what killed him.
No way. You're so funny.
Did they do an autopsy?
How suddenly?
It was so good. He said it was the best soup he ever tasted. Aww. And he died like a week later, 2 weeks later. But anyway, so yeah, dad's still touring. And
are you happy to have a little bit of break from your husband? Or no, do you miss him?
Oh, I miss him a lot.
Really?
Yeah. We're really nice to each other for like 2 days, and then we start bickering. It starts right away.
What do you bicker about?
Oh, stupid shit.
Like what?
Oh, God. Like his snoring.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, my micromanaging. Mm-hmm. You know, just dumb stuff. But we've learned how to fight. It's 22 years being married.
Couples therapy?
Yeah, we had therapy at 7 years. We thought we were going to be divorced at 7 years.
That's the point.
Yeah, that is kind of that.
That was a hump. The point where you have to get through it or not.
Or not.
Yeah.
Also, 4.5 months. That's a real
thing. That's also another.
That's the point.
Yeah. That's another benchmark.
Yeah, right. Oh,
four
God.
And a half.
Well, I spent like 2 years being like really jealous, very insecure. And then finally I said, he loves me. You know what I mean? Like I couldn't believe that he would really love me. And
how'd you meet?
We met at a concert I was doing with one of the Beach Boys that I tour with now, Al Jardine. And Rob was there with an author. And we met backstage, and he had the prettiest smile. He was gorgeous. And he said, I used to watch your talk show, and I really enjoyed watching you.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, who is this guy? He's so cute. Not very tall, but fuck, is he handsome. And then we had dinner, everybody, like as a group. And then I went home, and I saw him this, like, you know, the old message boards? This is before, like, you know, real social media stuff. And I saw Tu Carney from Rob Bonfilio. And I'm like, Bonfilio? Like, Rob, wait, that sounds familiar. It was that guy I met. And he said, it was so great to meet you, and you smelled so good. And I loved your butterfly clips. And I just responded, are you single? That was it. That was it. So we had this, like, long distance thing for maybe a year or two.
Mm-hmm.
We were married almost, like, a year and a half later.
And you have 2 children.
Yes, Lola and Lucy.
17 and 13?
Yep.
Okay, so 17-year-old's driving now?
Oh, yeah.
Good driver?
Great driver. Okay.
Yeah. Megan has a 16-year-old, not a great driver.
No. Not the best.
Why? She like bumps things and stuff?
She has. She's been in 2 accidents.
Oh, God. Okay.
6 months and she's had her license.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
But
and you did all the additional training and everything.
Like, I did. I did special BMW performance training out in the desert.
Wait,
I did,
no,
like
what, are you
people
serious?
Do.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
you
then
have
I did,
to.
Oh, sure. Take your
And then
race
I did extra driving lessons. I tried, Carney. I tried.
Is
no,
she
but
on
I will
the
tell you,
phone?
No, I'll
is
tell you
that
this.
It?
No, she has gotten much, much better.
Okay,
it was
okay.
Just lack of experience.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So she's much better now.
Well, I'm a pretty good driver, And Lola's a great driver. So I of course you worry, but she loves to drive.
Mm-hmm. So you bought her a car or did she use your car?
I said to her, if you get straight A's all through high school, mm-hmm. if you get straight A's, I will buy you a car. And I leased her a new Audi because she
nice.
Kept
what color?
It's white with black interiors.
Pretty.
Special
whistle. Did you do the black rims too?
She got, no, they're chrome.
Okay.
Chrome, you know, but bigger.
Yeah.
You know, I love cars, so I can get into
me
it
too.
All.
Me too.
Love. But she loves cars. She knows every car on the road. She points to a car. Mom, that's a Mazda. Mom, that's a Honda. Mom, that's a Mercedes. But I said, yeah, I said, you guys are so spoiled. But if you ever act like a spoiled brat, that's it. Mm. They are.
See,
such.
That's where I'm at.
Yeah. You have to lay
Monroe's
spoiled
not getting a
and
car.
Act spoiled.
You got to start right now.
Oh, she's been calling me all weekend, Carney. She's been calling me Jeff. And I said, stop
no.
with the Jeff.
No, Jeff.
I'm Daddy Jeff.
Absolutely.
Stop. But it's better than this guy, because she was doing this guy for a while.
That's not true.
No, swear to God,
yeah,
this guy.
I witnessed it.
This guy.
No.
Yeah, this guy.
But now we're Jeff. And I'm in the pool, and I get embarrassed in front of other parents. And I said, I said, hey, you got to call me Daddy.
Yeah.
Seriously, you're embarrassing me. You're making me look bad. So
you need to take like 10 minutes twice a week, crawl into bed with her, put her in your arms, and just say, I just want to lay with you.
I do that.
Okay.
I do that. I read to her every night that she's with me.
Good.
She gets in the chair. We do like cuddles and the whole thing.
Good.
But that's the other thing, though. She does hold me hostage at bedtime. I don't know if you did this with your kids, where it's like, Daddy, I want water. Daddy, I want this.
Yes,
Daddy, I want another hug.
This.
I want another kiss.
Oh,
I wanted this. I want to straighten my blanket. Blah, blah, blah. It goes on and on and on. It drives me a little nuts.
Because they don't want to go to sleep.
Right.
Right. And then the other thing, too, is that Saturday night. So we were in Newport for the weekend.
Yeah.
So we rolled in and like the Beverly Hillbillies. So we're staying at the Pelican Resort, which is really nice and like upscale.
Yeah.
And then we roll in with all our big inflatable, you know, animals. Like we had the orca, the 8-foot orca that I had to put out the sunroof of the car. Mm-hmm. Then we had the shark. And so I knew that they were going to ask me to remove them from the pool because it's just really like a beautiful, tranquil environment.
And you brought a zoo with you, an inflatable zoo.
I did. I did not bring the squirt gun. Someone else brought them, but I am going to get them for next time.
But we found them.
So I already had everything rehearsed what I was going to do. So Shane was in the pool playing. So he's 25, but he was playing with all the little kids. So I was waiting for them.
It's nice.
I was waiting for them to come over and say something, and I already had it all rehearsed.
Yeah.
And I was going to say that my, and this is probably would make me go to hell, but I was going to say, because I was waiting for them, Mr. Lewis, I think you're going to have to remove the inflatables. I'm going to say, look, my son is autistic.
Oh,
that's
Jeff.
Not true. That's not true.
I was going to say, my son is autistic. He's been looking forward to the floaties.
You're on
all
the highway.
Week.
You're on the highway right now.
Right. And
you're
I was going
to
say,
hell.
Is there any way that we could get an exception from the manager? I was ready to go there.
That is the worst.
And so if you look at him,
that was your backup. That was
but
your
if you looked
plan.
At him,
karma
in that you saw the picture of him in the inflatable,
right?
There would have been no question, no question.
Because it was so like,
he's 25 inside a shark inflatable.
Oh God,
I'm a good brother.
So I told him though. I said, if they come around, I'm like, take off those sunglasses, put on goggles.
You would have done it.
Oh, for sure.
Because
oh,
I bought goggles at Pavilions.
No, you
so,
didn't.
Yes, I did. Yeah. So I said. I said, if you see him coming around, if you see him talking to me, put on the goggles, take off the sunglasses, because then he would look even more, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You are so funny.
So, but fortunately, I did give the guy like $100, Carrie. Mm-hmm. So, Carrie did not say a word.
Shout out, Carrie.
Yeah, love Carrie. But I was waiting for the manager
that
to come over.
That is too much. I get
Jessica didn't say anything either because we gave her a big tip.
Right.
So, I think that's really what we have to do.
If you give people cash, they let you do what you want.
That's what we've learned.
Right,
that's the lesson I'm trying to teach
Dumb
my daughter.
Dumber. The lesson with Dumb and Dumber. It's like, you get 100, you get 100. You know when he's going.
That's Jeff. That's
so
cool.
Funny.
Dumb and Dumber. Oh my God. Exhibit A.
But I did get all those kids riled up.
Yeah,
we were ramming the whale against the shark and the shark against the whale.
God.
We were running over people. We were escorting people. And I got all those kids riled up.
You started like literally
a
like,
war.
All these kids fighting each other. And then,
then
Jeff
I left,
was like,
all
right, I'm going to go lay down. And then I was like, I'm not playing with
kids were
with
crying.
10 children.
No.
Well, because they got squirt in the eye with a squirt gun.
God.
That little Kenna was her name?
Yeah,
she was a.
This girl was so sweet. And then Jeff hands her a squirt gun and she started.
I'm like, get him, shoot him.
Ruthlessly
spring. No.
And her mom kept coming over like, Kenna, not in the face. Kenna.
Okay, mean children freak me out. I'm just saying that.
Well, then there was those little kids from Saudi Arabia that spoke like three languages.
Yeah.
They were in it
to
win it.
I was like, what are
you saying? That's intense.
Yeah, they were in it to win it. Yeah, I couldn't understand.
Mm-mm. I was like, French?
That's scary.
Yeah, but we had a really good time.
That's good.
I think they're going to let us back.
You wanted to have fun.
Yeah, we did. We had a really good time.
The best time.
So we were listening to Pitbull Globalization on SiriusXM. I love it all
weekend.
It's our
favorite station.
Channel
13.
Ooh.
Oh, it's a good time. All these remixes. Oh. We listened to it on the way down because we went to Islands. We stopped at Islands.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
I love Islands. We went to the Islands in Newport Beach. And because we've mentioned it.
The fries.
The onion rings.
The goddamn cheddar fries.
I did the shorebird. And yeah, then I did the fries and dipped it in the ranch. Like it was
They're the best ranch dressing.
And they got a great chicken salad.
They bought me lunch.
They did?
Melissa, the regional manager, came over and she said, thanks for talking about Islands on your radio show. I said, no problem.
My kids love those fries.
God, I love Islands.
It's good.
I wanted to go on the way home on Sunday, but we were running late to drop
off. You're a little obsessed with Islands.
A little bit. Yeah.
Well, there's a vibe and it's delish.
So
it's fun.
I had to get Monroe home because I'm supposed to return her at noon on Sundays to Daddy Gage. And Daddy Gage was already not happy with me.
Yeah.
Why?
Why?
Because I had posted an Insta story of Monroe and I. He already asked that I not post her on Instagram.
Okay.
But my compromise is to just do a story because it disappears in 24
hours. But my question is, why does he not want you to post?
He's trying to protect her privacy.
Oh, I see. Okay. All right.
That would make sense if she wasn't on two seasons of Flipping Out, born on TV, and then also
all over his Instagram.
All over his Instagram.
Welcome to
my
life. I get it. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's just see how this went down.
What happened?
Jeff, I made it clear. I do not want photos of Monroe posted on Instagram. It's a violation of her privacy. There's nothing to gain in showing our daughter to 800,000. Oh, our, by the way, is capitalized. Wants to make that clear.
Oh, boy.
And showing our daughter to 800,000 people in a swimsuit, nonetheless, you're acting in complete disregard to my wishes, and it is incredibly disrespectful.
Huh.
So sometimes I just ignore it.
Yeah.
But, and I wasn't, I mean, I was completely sober. I'm on my eighth day of sobriety.
Yes.
But I wrote, it's not a post, it's a story. It will expire tomorrow. That is the compromise. I will post pics occasionally of my family. Monroe's my daughter, too. I will also have a say in this. You will not make unilateral decisions. I'm on her behalf.
That's fair.
I mean, it's fair.
I see both points, but I think that's fair. I mean,
me too.
Yeah,
that's a fair response. It was honest.
And when I dropped her off, he was friendly, so
yeah,
that was good.
That makes sense. You're not doing it every day.
Does he try to like just prove his point a lot and just like?
He's trying to control me after the breakup, which was 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. So I feel like it's a little bit controlling.
It's hard.
Although, I don't really want to stir things up because you've been
getting along.
We have been getting along,
right? And there's a child in this,
but there is. He's going to be taking her to Italy for a week, and I've been waiting for all the details. So that's the next thing I had to send.
Is he going to post when they're in Italy? No. Or he'll put like a little.
No, he won't post in Italy. But you know, if you're taking my daughter, our daughter, capitalized. Oh, mm-hmm. If you're taking our daughter to Italy, then you do need to provide all the information of where you're going to be and the itinerary.
Of course, you better.
So I said, also to reiterate our conversation today, I do not feel comfortable with you taking Monroe out of the country in the middle of a pandemic. I will need a complete itinerary with your hotel, flight info, etc. And then I said, I would also like your travel companion's contact info in case you cannot be reached.
That's good.
Said
that's
I'm, I mean, yeah. Said I'm more than happy to share the details as required. I said, great, send them now. I'm requesting them. So, and I got them the next morning.
Oh, good.
There you go.
Now I feel comfortable.
That's fine.
Got everything. Feel comfortable.
It's fair.
We're going to New York on Sunday.
Perfect.
We're going to do the switch off on Wednesday. He's flying to New York, and then he takes her on to Italy.
Okay, good.
Great.
Good.
So I think that's a win.
I want to go to Italy.
So do I.
Should we all go
so
also?
Lucky.
On the same flight?
Jeff Lewis live.
My fantasy
appearance.
My fantasy is Rome. The kids go to college, and I grab my 5,000 cases of wine, and I am on a hilltop in Tuscany, and I'm absolutely shit-faced drunk.
Mm. Okay, but you have been sober for how long?
Almost 19 years.
Wow.
No, I didn't break my sobriety, but I went to a party one time with the cast of The Talk, and I took a sip of Sarah's drink by mistake.
Doesn't count.
I took a sip by mistake, but you don't understand what happened. I took the sip, and I went, oh, my God, Sarah, I just took a sip of your drink, and it's alcohol. She goes, what?
Got to start all over with sobriety.
And so I went, oh, no. And then, calmed down, and I thought it wasn't intentional.
Yeah.
I had a soda with lime. She had, like, a gin, whatever, with lime. And I swear to God, on my grandmother's grave, it was a mistake.
Yeah.
And I got myself together, and I'm like, all right, 5 fucking minutes later, Sharon's drink I sipped by mistake.
Oh, no.
That is a true story.
I don't think it's an accident.
I swear.
Twice.
Swear.
Within 5 minutes?
Swear. Literally 3 minutes
She loved
minutes
the
later.
Taste of the first one, and then she went to Sharon's.
So I called my sponsor, and I said, Bonnie, you're not going to believe this. And I said, I have to go. I was so upset.
Yeah.
Aww. I had to leave. And
just for 2 sips.
Yeah, but it was just, you know, it's a mind fuck.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a big deal. I mean, I'm like 3, okay. You know.
Well, we were by the pool, and Krista ordered a Bloody Mary, and I love those Bloody Marys that Pelican makes. So I said, can I have 1 sip? So I had 1 sip, but I didn't have to call my sponsor, and I didn't feel guilty about it. It was just
that's Dr. What's his name? Who put you on the antibiotics?
Oh. Josephson?
Josephson.
Hooman. Dr. Hooman.
Oh, Hooman. Justin. You didn't have to call Dr. Hooman.
I didn't have to call Dr. Hooman.
Yeah.
So I did have a sip.
Yeah.
And then also when I went to sushi, there was a little, just like a little sake. So I just had a sip. So I've had 2 sips, big deal. I'm sober.
That's okay. I used to love sake.
Yeah. So just 1 little sip.
Oh, God. I'm such an alcoholic. I used to get so drunk.
But you know what? Here's the thing. Like, I was talking to Megan about this. I'm so used to taking Ubers at night.
Yeah.
Because I go to a restaurant and I'll have even if I have 1 cocktail, I don't want to drive.
Right.
So I didn't realize, like, I've been driving my car at night. And I noticed all the light, like the interior lights. And I said to you, I'm like, oh, pretty. Look at those lights back there in the back seat. I'm like, I've never driven this car at night. I didn't know that light strip goes all the way around the whole car.
And you can change the color, honey. The colors you can change.
Didn't know that.
Yeah.
All because I'm sober and driving at night.
It's like a little disco.
And I said to Krista, it is like a disco.
It
and
is.
I said to Krista, I said, you know, what I love about not drinking is that I can speed. First of all, I don't have to take back roads. And I can speed.
Yeah,
and I said I'm reframing.
What's the worst that's gonna happen?
And Chris is like, I'd rather drink. Not very supportive.
Oh, no.
God.
Yeah. All right, we're gonna take a quick break. Walmart Plus is the membership that saves you time and money on the stuff you'd expect, plus the stuff you don't, like gas. Save on gas while you drive the kids to soccer practice, plus visit your in-laws, plus venture into the wilderness, plus wherever else you want to go. Plus, take some guilt-free time on the couch because Walmart Plus also saves you time and money with free delivery. It's perfect for ordering new remote batteries, plus more coffee when somebody finishes it without telling you, plus snacks for your movie night. Plus, save on the actual movies with a Paramount Plus subscription. Stream Top Gun, Maverick, plus Mean Girls, plus Jack Reacher, plus so much more. Because savings is what the whole Walmart Plus membership is all about. Members save on gas, plus free delivery, plus Paramount Plus, plus so much more. Start a free 30-day trial at www.walmartplus.com. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions. $35 order minimum, Paramount Plus Essential plan only, separate registration required. We are back with Carney Wilson, Megan Weaver, and Shane Douglas. I wanted to talk to you about this because you've been sober for 19 years. Last night, I was by myself. It was just I had got back from Newport, and I was just relaxing. I thought, oh, I'm going to go in the pool, the jacuzzi, whatever. I'm used to, at that point, making a cocktail and sitting in the jacuzzi with a cocktail.
Of course.
So I think for me, it's very routine. So I went ahead and made a virgin Bloody Mary. I went through all of it. I did the 2 different mixes, and I did the celery and the salt and the olives. And it was the ceremony, really.
Yes.
Without the alcohol. I did not miss the alcohol at all.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying?
Of course.
And then also, over the weekend, on Friday night when we were at dinner, it was the only time in 8 days where I was like, oh, I would love a martini. Because it came out in this gorgeous, we were at Pelican Grill. It came out in this gorgeous glass, blue cheese, olives.
Yes.
And I was like, I'd really love a martini right now. But that was the only time in 8 days. Like, as long as I have something in my hand, like a Coke, a water, an iced tea, I'm good.
Of course. It's nervous energy.
Yes, me too.
Yes.
It's like anxiety and nervous energy, and I have to do something. That's why I started baking. It's either like, you know, I turn to food, or I, you know, go use my vibrator, whatever the fuck it is. Whatever distracts me and releases something.
Yes.
I need to get something out. And I don't, it's always been that way.
Yeah.
But I was born an addict. And that's just it. I want everything twice yesterday. That's the way it's always been. But I don't, what I realize is that I don't need alcohol to have fun, because I wake up and I'm a positive person. Like, my mother taught me to see the good in life. And I've learned to appreciate things more when I'm sober now. My last drunk was at Neiman Marcus at the top of the, you know, in Beverly Hills, the famous lobster sandwich. Apparently, I bought everybody a drink because I got a $1,000 bill. I don't remember driving home. And it was my last drunk. And apparently I humped the cone on the ground when I got out.
Oh, yeah.
It was, wasn't good.
Yeah.
And
that was your rock bottom.
That was my
when you humped the cone.
When I humped
the
cone.
You said, you know.
This isn't a good look.
No.
Yeah.
Well, because my hernia popped out and then somebody had to come and push it back in on the street. So it was so ridiculous.
Right.
You know? I mean, to that point. But thank God I didn't hurt anyone.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, or get arrested or whatever. It's very, very difficult how it just consumes me and it's all I think about. And so now I have children. I got sober and I got pregnant 2 weeks later. It was such a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
It was a blessing. And, you know, I heard that voice. I mean, I had a weird spiritual thing happen that kind of like shook me up and got me into shit. Like, you need to get sober.
Wait, what happened?
Well, it's a whole other topic. But I had a ghost or spirit.
Yes.
Yank the covers off my legs. Mm-hmm. And when I woke up, it was frightening. But I was thinking about why, what? And it was like, and it took a medium to come in and talk to me about it. But it was like, it was a ghost and a spirit saying, get your shit together,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I was at that point. My husband was making a record up in Weed, California. Literally Weed, California.
Don't even know where that is.
You don't want to know. It's like a little town, like at the top of California, right before, you know, it's right about Mount Shasta. Very spiritual, beautiful place.
Okay.
So anyway, the spirit grabbed my legs and it was a haunted place. And I did a whole thing on TV, actually, about this haunted place. But yeah, I mean, it was like a message. And I was getting a massage one day, excuse me. And it was like, the messages kept coming. You gotta get sober. You gotta get sober because you're gonna die. I actually wanted to drive off Coldwater Canyon, off the cliff. I didn't know how to stop drinking. I didn't.
And so did you start AA?
I did.
And then you met Bonnie.
It's anonymous.
Your sponsor.
My sponsor, Bonnie. It's
shout
supposed
out, Bonnie.
It's supposed to be anonymous, right?
Oh,
and
sorry, Bonnie.
But I don't. Here's my thing. I don't know why it's anonymous. Isn't that funny? I feel like people shouldn't be ashamed to be sober or ashamed to admit they have a problem. The most courageous people are the people that are vulnerable. That's my opinion. The most courageous you can be is when you admit that you're vulnerable.
Did you notice that other people were talking about your drinking before you decided to get sober? Did anyone mention anything to you?
Yeah, I did. I emceed a benefit for my late Uncle Carl, Beach Boy Carl. I walked down that red carpet really drunk. I was like size 8 or size 6, blonde hair, you know, my boobs. I was so like excited to be slender and like what I thought was really hot, you know? And that was when I started drinking. And I remember being in the elevator at Shutters at the beach. And apparently I told Sean Penn that I wanted to have sex with him.
Well, who wouldn't?
Sure.
We don't fault you for that.
No.
I mean, right.
I mean, it's totally reasonable.
But it's embarrassing.
What was the toxic, horrible thing you did then?
Yeah, no, it was like one thing after the other. And then, but I, no, but nobody really came to me and said anything. I kept going to everybody, do you think I'm an alcoholic? Mm. Do you think I'm an alcoholic? Because I knew in my heart that I couldn't stop drinking. I always loved pot. Oh my God. I mean, you know, I still dream about joints.
Oh, you gave that up too?
Everything.
You give up everything.
Everything. And oh God, I miss my bongs, my weed, mm-hmm. you know. But it's all the same thing. It's just kind of like numbing out.
Yes.
You know, mm-hmm. numbing out and calming down. So now I've learned other ways to calm down. There's not many.
Right.
And I really
right.
don't calm mm-hmm. down. But I'm okay for a little while. And I'm like, okay, just for today, I'm not going to pick up a drink. And if I can divert my stuff. See, I start sweating when I talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sweating in my pits because it's that intense for me.
My goal is not to give up entirely alcohol. I'd like to really make a major cutback. And if I can't do that, then I have to give it
same.
Up.
So that is when you know if you're an alcoholic or not. I would love to drink like mm-hmm. a normal
moderately.
Person. I would love to be yeah. able, even 2 glasses of wine a day. But something happens to me the minute I put alcohol in my system.
Your body needs it. It needs more.
It needs more.
Yeah.
It's never enough. And then I don't know what's going to happen.
It's insidious. Yeah.
Yeah. It creeps up and you're like, and I don't know why. But it's like the minute I went, okay, I'm born this way. I'm probably not going to change. Just for today, I'm not going to drink. And sometimes I'm on the airplane by myself, you know, going for a business trip or something.
There's Bloody Marys.
And there's Bloody Marys. Such
a, I know.
I just had a virgin one the other day. We went. I took my daughter Lucy to Joffrey's. I said, we're going to go have dinner on the water. Just me and her.
Yeah, I'm glad you didn't go to Mastro's.
It's horrible there.
Mastro's yeah. Malibu.
Joffrey's so much better.
Can't bring your dog. They'll put you on the patio. Oh,
third row back, I heard.
Oh, God, that's terrible. And for the price, it's not cheap. Mm-mm. So anyway, she ordered a little pina colada, you know, strawberry thing, and I ordered a nice, spicy Bloody Mary virgin. Yeah. You know, and I said, virgin. I said, make sure. But yeah, it's like, it's just part of the romantic part of it, the taste.
Yeah.
You know, and that first buzz, that first warm feeling in your throat. And then, but then it's like, then I just want to hump everyone. Then I want
to. I think I'm an alcoholic after
yeah,
I listen
well,
to her.
I know I am. I haven't had anything to drink. I've cut back 95%, like 97%. But you know what I find is that at night, I want sweets.
Oh, God.
I just want something sweet.
You got to have some of her desserts.
Oh. I had a bite of it. Okay.
That is the most incredible cake. Thank it's my you. Favorite. Like that white cake with the chocolate frosting. You're so sweet
so
to ask Shane what
I
my
did.
Favorite was.
I wanted to ask you what, because that's what I do. I loved. But so that I started baking when I got sober because I needed something to
do. An outlet. Yeah.
Yeah. Like with my hands and my creativity and, you know, and then also, of course, I love to eat. But like, I like to watch. It's actually kind of weird. I like to watch people eat. I like to make food. Bake, cook, and watch them chew and be like,
she's a feeder.
I love it.
Feeder. Yeah, feeder.
She's a feeder.
Yes.
It's a sexual thing.
So feeder. It's sexual. Mm-hmm. It's Jewish. It's all these goddamn things. I don't know what the hell it is.
I think I'm a feeder too.
It's all of it.
Yeah.
You're a feeder and an eater.
Yes.
You're the feeder and the feedy.
All right. Enough. Do you, being an addictive personality,
yes.
you do you obsess and fixate? Like, I obsess and fixate about my weight.
Mm-hmm.
I weigh myself 2 to 4 times a day.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's, you know, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Do you think that the scale is really going to change dramatically in that time?
I mean, honestly, if it just even budges like half a pound, I'm happy.
But you just want to see it.
Yeah. So,
I mean, you could take a shit and you can lose a half a pound. You know that, right?
Or water pills.
And then I'll weigh myself again.
Of course. Mm-hmm.
I've
been
there. I
do it a
lot. And I will like go, even though I'm fully dressed, like I'll go and sometimes like middle of the day.
Yeah.
Take off my clothes, weigh myself, put my clothes back on.
That's why you're gone for so long from the office.
It's so true.
When I go on like diets or like whatever program, then I weigh myself a lot because I'm like excited. I want to see the progress.
Yes.
But at this point, at 54, I'm still over 200 pounds. I never lost the baby weight. And it's not that I've accepted who I am. It's more like just be happy in your life. And if you don't like it, then fucking change it.
Yeah.
You know, it's up to me. I've done it before. If I really wanted to do it, I know how. And I know I can.
Are you happy in your skin? Like, do you feel like I don't know how you feel, Megan, but I'm never really 100% happy with my body. I don't know if you're that way.
Yeah, no, I feel like that's rare for
it's pretty rare
to be 100% happy with their appearance. You know, I think it's always sort of that voice in your head.
And I was telling you, Carney, I was thinking about it this morning, like, where does this stem from? My mother and my grandmother were obsessed with weight. Especially my grandmother.
Yeah.
And my grandmother was obsessed with everyone's weight around her in addition to her own. And I feel like I picked that up because it was constant criticism.
Constant. Was she thin?
Sometimes. And she fluctuated. And when she was heavy is when it was really critical.
Oh,
like, because you could tell she wasn't happy about herself.
Projecting.
So she would criticize everyone else's weight.
Right. Oh, gosh.
Where does yours stem from?
Oh, God. My mother used to wake me up and, like, give me Winchell's donuts at, like, 3 a.m.
Oh.
She was a feeder, too.
Oh, God. I remember eating, like, cereal with my dad when they were still married, like, at 3 a.m. We would go and eat, like, Raisin Bran with half and half.
Ooh, that sounds so good.
Right, oh, my God. It's cereal with half and half. Wow. Forget it.
That sounds delicious.
Nothing better.
When I went to Pavilions, I did go down that cereal aisle.
Yeah.
And I was looking at all those sugar cereals.
I'm salivating.
So good.
I'm salivating.
God. Yeah.
I mean,
I'm
they look so
salivating.
Good. The problem is I'll have 3 bowls.
Cause I know.
Because what I like to do is I pour the milk on, then I eat all the cereal, and then there's still the really sweet milk underneath.
Time to fill
so
it up.
Then I put more in.
Time to fill it
up.
Yep,
and then I put more milk in, and then eat it. Keep going.
You preach it to the choir. I know.
I love that Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Oh, God.
I was looking at Sugar Corn Pops. I was looking at Fruit Loops. I was looking at Apple Jack. All of them.
Captain Crunch. Oh, love
my
Captain
God.
Crunch.
Peanut butter Captain Crunch
it's
is
my
honestly,
favorite.
I don't know, sex or that. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I swear.
I don't know.
Same.
Don't know.
Same.
Really. Yeah. I think I might take
the Captain Crunch.
Yeah,
too.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Oh, I love Captain Crunch.
Oh.
Oh.
Did you do gastric bypass at one point?
I did. And then I lost 160 pounds.
Wow.
That's so I like became a totally new person I didn't recognize. And that was very scary. Because, like, my body moved too fast and my head couldn't catch up. And I was, like, looking. I used to, like, look at old pictures of me when I was, like, 310 pounds. And I used to cry and be like, where did she go? And I, you know, I went to my therapist and he's like, you're just grieving your old self, I guess. And just, you got to let her go. And I did.
When a therapist says, I guess.
Maybe getting a therapist.
I guess. I guess this is what's happening.
But he was so great. And, you know.
So cute.
Handsome, I bet.
Great therapist. And, we've done some hypnotherapy. It's been effective. But he's seen me since 19. He's seen me balloon up. He's seen me lose weight. He's seen me get sober, you know. And
do you have to have the lap band? Is that the...
So I gained weight. And then I had my kids. And then I decided to put a lap band over the bypass. It's called band over bypass. Ooh. And it just kind of... Because for me, it was like a physical thing. It was like an anatomical thing. Mm-hmm. My little opening... Like, here's your stomach, right? It's a little round stomach.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's an opening that goes into your, you know, through where the food. Well, mine was stretched so far, the food would go through, and I wouldn't have satiety. I wasn't full.
Yeah.
And so they were like, well, we could put a band over the bypass. It'll limit the size of your stomach, your little stomach you already have right now. And I did lose weight, but, you know, it's like the same old thing.
Were you full just after a couple bites?
Yeah. But it doesn't matter because if you snack all day, calories in versus calories out. It's like a science. It really is. There's no magic pill. But I still work hard at it. I still try. But for me, it's like quesadillas at 11 p.m. That's my downfall.
Mm.
I'll go and make a big piece of like sourdough toast, extra crispy with like 5,000 pounds of butter. And that's my snack.
Mm. And it's I love sourdough bread.
What we do, Megan and I, is we go to bed real early so we don't eat or drink.
That's so smart.
I went to bed like 9:30 last
me
night.
Too.
So smart.
Me too.
Fast asleep.
That's a good way to actually lose weight.
And not drink.
Well, that's why you go to bed early.
Right.
Sometimes you go to bed at 8, right?
Sometimes I go to bed at 8 so that I don't drink alcohol.
How do you fall asleep? Oh, God.
I just take a little pill.
Yeah. Oh, that's another story. You know, CBD is great. CBD.
We do that too.
But I do no THC. Like that's.
Yeah. I do THC, CBD, melatonin.
Oh, see, melatonin gives me nightmares.
Yeah, me too.
Does it give you nightmares?
Yeah.
Oh my God! Yeah. Like John Mayer was trying to kill me in my last one.
Oh,
it wasn't good.
I
love John Mayer.
So hot,
but he was a murderer and ready to kill me.
Wow,
that's what melatonin does to me. That's hot.
He could play a villain. I could see that.
So cute and so great.
My cat has an eating disorder.
Oh God,
yeah.
Patrick. He will binge breakfast and throw up after. I'm serious.
I don't know what to do.
He doesn't know when to stop eating.
I don't know what to say about that.
Can I get the band over the bypass, whatever, for him?
Cats scare me. I'm not a cat person. They scare me.
No,
he's a beautiful cat.
They scare me.
But he is gaining weight. I'm worried about his health.
Well,
my dog's 25 pounds overweight.
Don't bring into my house.
I'm not even 25 pounds.
Don't bring into my house.
I don't want him having quesadillas at 11 p.m.
No, or everything else on the side. No, don't come to my house. Instant weight gain. You'll have the fattest cat on the planet.
So tell me about these gourmet desserts that you've been making, because you do cheesecakes.
Oh,
you do. Tell me everything you do.
Oh, God, I just love to bake so much. Yeah. And I was thinking, well, what could be a great way to share love and great recipes? Just make little bites. And Love Bites. Love Bites by Carney has been through a lot. We barely survived the pandemic. We had a bunch of crap happen, no pun intended. We had some E. coli sold to us, this cream with E. coli, and we had to just shut down operations. I was making a bunch of cheesecakes for a big grocery chain that I can't say the name of, but we were making about $2.5 million. Anyway, bottom line is I make these great, great desserts that are bite-sized.
Yeah.
So like, because my thing is, don't stop. Alcohol's the only thing I won't do at all.
Yes.
Everything else I can do a little. I just can't drink, but I can have little desserts. And that's the message. Like, I always want more. I'm like a pig like that. I want more, more, more. But desserts, if I just have a little bit,
yes.
and then I go, you know what? I'm actually okay. I don't have to have the whole piece of cheesecake, and I can have a little one, but it better be goddamn good if I'm going to have a little piece.
Yeah.
It can't be crap. It has to be good.
I do sweets every day, but just one. Like, so I buy those Dove minis.
Yeah, love.
And I'll just have one.
Perfect.
And that's it. I allow myself one a day.
Because
you were saying, like, I made you this cake, Jeff, but are you going to eat it? And I said, yes, I will have a small piece every day.
That's all you need. It's just a little, a
couple bites.
But it's hard,
the self-control.
It's very hard.
Because you want to keep going.
God, I remember when I used to get stoned, I just had the munchies.
Oh, like, yeah.
I just couldn't stop eating.
Yeah.
You know, it was like everything tasted so good. But now, you know, as you get older, it's like you can't taste anything. You can't feel your pussy. It all goes together.
Oh.
It all goes together. Sorry, Jeff.
No, it's fine. I didn't see that coming. But but you said that you
did
had...
I just say that? What the... I thought, that's like not... What's wrong with me? I think think it's you.
It's this place.
You are bringing it out of me.
It's the environment.
Well, I did want to ask you because you had posed for Playboy.
Right. Speaking of poses, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that kind of reminded me. So
right.
After the band over bypass,
yeah.
You lost all this weight. You're super, super skinny. And then Playboy comes to you and they want to do a story about you. They want you to be want you to be in the magazine.
Yeah.
And you agree. It's a lot of money, big paycheck. And you agree. And then you were telling me some very interesting things about Playboy.
I know. Well, first of all, I said, well, you're asking me, I'm about to get my boobs lifted. I'm getting a tummy tuck because I had some loose skin in my belly. And and she was like, okay, no worry, we'll wait for you. We'll wait for you. Just get your surgery and don't worry about that. And we'll, if you have a little scar, we'll just, airbrush it out. Turns out they airbrush everything from your fingernails to your hair to you. And apparently they said to me, we want, bush, basically.
Oh.
We want you to pose, but we want you to, not just your breasts. We want full body.
Wow.
Okay.
So I showed up. This was drinking days. Never more drunk.
Really?
The photo shoot of Playboy.
Oh, so it was so nervous.
Oh, my God. It was a 4-day. Well, first of all, they shove alcohol in your mouth when you walk in. What do you want to drink? They make you drink.
That's like Watch What Happens Live.
Yeah.
Loosen you up.
Yeah.
They loosen you up.
Prime you.
So they prime you.
Prime
so
the
you're
pump.
Real, And I had a great photographer, Stephen Wada. Gorgeous, gorgeous pictures. And they said, this is going to be like a fantasy fairy tale. They made corsets for me. They wanted it very classy. It wasn't like I was totally, it wasn't Hustler. You know what I mean? It wasn't spread whatever it was classy, and I said, well, I'll do it, but I'm doing it because I feel empowered now. Finally, I'm in this new shell and I'm trying to feel beautiful. Not that being overweight is not beautiful, it's that's where I was in my life at the time, and it was new and it was exciting, and so it was empowering to a certain degree that I had overcome that. So I'm like, well, why not do it? And it was a great paycheck, and I thought, one day this is a great message. You can overcome. If you have a goal to do anything, you can do it if you want. Yeah,
wow.
Right. So you see the corsets? So
Gorgeous.
So fresh, good boobs. Look at the boobs.
Real gorgeous. Good.
Good boobs. And
but
never felt prettier.
Since then, the implants have popped.
Okay, wait. So I was I was so drunk.
Okay.
And they had it was a 4-day shoot. Six hours of hair and makeup. See the bottom left picture? So that's me at like 300. And I went up a little more. And then on the right was my smallest weight.
What bothers me. And I don't know if you, is that you said that you had like a Brazilian wax?
So I had a little tiny strip. And all of a sudden I look and they have like a fucking forest. They put like all this hair.
In the edit.
In the edit.
They added it.
They added it. There's one picture
that's
in there
bullshit.
Where they put so much hair.
Did all that work waxing? Well, it hurts.
Yeah. But you know why? Because I said I don't want to see excuse me, but lip. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
Like, I don't want to see.
Meat curtains.
I don't want to see anything. Right. Mm-hmm. I don't want to see anything.
But you
like
said
that.
They did something to your vagina.
They did. They made a new vagina, basically. They made up their own vagina.
So they didn't like your vagina?
No. They were trying to honor what
it's a
I
nice
said.
Vagina, right?
Well, of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
So
it
why
is.
Would they change your vagina?
Because I said to them, I don't want to see the actual vagina. I just want to see like maybe a little bit of hair.
So they added a lot.
So they just edited it funky.
So would you rather they have not added the hair and just showed more of the vagina?
No, and it's not that bad. But it was just, it was a different, it was like a weird triangle. I'm like, that's not my crotch.
But you sign your rights away, right?
Signed
so they
away,
do whatever they want.
It's fine. And it was and it was a tasteful piece.
Yeah,
and
you look great.
And I always love those photos, And I own all the photos. I have all of them. The test shoot with Hugh approving everything.
Do you have them on, do you have them in your house, displayed?
Yeah, they're like those old-fashioned little,
Where do you put them? Dining room?
Right on the dining room table. No, silly. They're like in a little drawer.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good.
Packed
okay.
away with all my other
Well, I do want to talk about your popped implants. What happened to your implants? Did they both pop?
Oh, God, yeah.
How?
I went for an exam, and then I had a bubble here, a bubble there, and it was like almost an emergency surgery. They ruptured. Both of them had a rupture in them, and I wanted them out anyway because they were starting to get hard, and I just was it would I lay down to get like a massage, I couldn't lay on my belly because they would hurt, and I just wanted them out. I felt like they were. This is like I had silicone, and I didn't know if it was something traveling in my blood.
Yes,
it's just you got to be so careful. People get really sick.
When you removed them, did you do a little lift?
I did a mini lift.
Yeah.
And, but they were never, I mean, they never, before I had my boobs done the first time, I mean, I couldn't even see my fucking areolas. They were like tucked under. I couldn't even see them. And then I got the implants, did the lift, and they were beautiful, you know, it's Playboy, right? And then after they just kind of stayed nice and tear up, you know, as long as they're facing up, I'm okay. But I have enough tissue right now because, you know, boobs are mainly fatty tissue. So I've got plenty of boobs right now.
How do you stay so positive?
Because I'm too scared to be negative.
Yeah. Like I do walks every day and I try to like remind myself everything is going right.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering because you're so like happy and up and positive. Yeah. And if there's any sort of advice you could give to, you know, some of my negative listeners.
Shout out.
There's a few of them.
You know, everybody gets upset about things, you know, and this is like the energy I want. I have to convince myself because deep down inside, I'm a 6-year-old girl who didn't have a hands-on father who wanted Twinkies and to suck her thumb.
Yeah.
And some days I feel like that now, but I have 2 children that I have to be a positive role model for. And my mom is responsible for it. She wakes up and sees the sun. She looks at trees and she says, look at what God made. Look at this.
Yeah.
We have to stay positive because the more we think we're okay, we'll be okay.
Mm, you know, that's important.
I try to notice all the little things. Like even the weekend, I was like, look at that sunset.
Mm-hmm. Love.
I never did that before. I could give a fuck. But now I'm like, oh, it's so pretty. But it helps.
Jeff 2.0.
But even if it's fleeting. It's
fleeting.
It's fleeting. That's okay.
Yeah.
Go on to the next.
Okay. Right. Carney Wilson, love you. I'm so glad you came today. Please come back.
Anytime.
And thank you so much for those desserts.
You're welcome.
Have a great day, everybody.
Bye.